I'm going to make two points in this talk. First, determinism is less useful as we commonly perceive for improving reliability. And second, I'm going to tell you a new approach we've been working on called stable multithreading for greatly improving reliability. It's much better than determinism. Okay. So here is essentially an outline of my talk, right? So we all know that multi-threaded programs are getting more and more pervasive and critical, driven by the hardware trend, right? We get multi-core hardware everywhere now. And also there is this increasing computational demands. But at the same time, these programs are really hard to get right. They're notorious to test, to write, to debug, to verify, or to analyze. So many researchers, including a lot of folks we've spoken to, blamed these difficulties on non-determinism. Essentially, if you run a multi-threaded program on the same input repeatedly, each execution may give you a different result depending on depending on the interleaving of the parallel threads, or we call thread schedules. And to eliminate this non-determinism, several groups of researchers, including my group, have built what we call deterministic multi-threading systems that force a program to always use the same schedule on the same input, right? By doing that, essentially, you know, we're maintaining this conceptual mapping from input to schedules, a one-to-one mapping from input to schedules, therefore bringing determinism to parallel execution. However, I'm going to argue later in this talk, determinism is actually neither sufficient nor necessary for reliability. We believe the real reason for all the difficulties in making multi-threaded programs reliable is that we have too many schedules for these programs over all inputs, not just over one input. So this reason is rather quantitative. And you know, I'll talk about this stable multi-threading approach that essentially maps all inputs to a much reduced set of schedules. This is in contrast than to deterministic multi-threading that maps one input to one schedule. We're going to map all inputs to a small set of schedules. Okay, so let's look at the background and motivation of our work. So multi-threaded programs tend to be hard to get right, and they're often plagued with a lot of concurrency errors, such as data races, atomicity violations, or deadlocks. And these bugs can cause critical system failures. For example, they have reportedly killed people and also cost billions of dollars loss in economy. And last year at HotPAR, we also demonstrated that concurrency errors can be exploited by attackers to violate confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So let me show you two examples of concurrency errors. So here, I'm showing you a bug in Apache. There are two threads. One thread accesses a shared object. Another thread frees it. If the thread schedule is like what's shown on the slide, then the program will run okay. However, if this schedule shows up, we're going to have a use after free error, which will cause Apache to crash, right? That's one bug. So here is another concurrency error. It's a data race in FFT in this popular concurrency benchmark, Splash 2. But here, both threads participate in parallel computation, and thread 0 prints out the result, and thread 1 updates the result. If the race is resolved this way, we're going to see a correct result. However, if the race is resolved this way, we see this schedule, right? The result printed out would be incomplete, right? It's going to be incorrect result. How bad is it? So this is a benchmark to measure the time spent doing the parallel computation on your hardware or runtime, right? And if the second schedule shows up, we're going to see like a time of zero spent computing the results, right? So your system is perfect because it doesn't spend any time computing the result, right? Okay.
So what I want to do with this is report the amount of time my system
takes,
right?
Right. So this here, the result is like the time spent doing the computation, right?
Yeah, so
okay.
Right?
And you see zero, or it could be a small number, right? Not necessarily zero. Here I show you just like two threads. If you have four threads, you can see like some partial update on this final time, right? Not the real time, real execution time. It's incorrect the numbers, right? In your paper.
You can't.
Not sure if we want these type of papers, right? Okay, so, you know, some bugs do have bad consequences. So here, when I say a schedule, I mean it's a sequence of communication operations such as lock operations or shared memory accesses. And we also call the schedule that triggers a concurrency error a buggy schedule. So strictly speaking, the concurrency bugs are triggered by a combination of schedules and also inputs. But people have done studies, and in practice, a lot of the concurrency errors depend much more on schedules than on inputs. That is, if you fix the schedule, the bug shows up regardless of what input you feed to the program. For this reason, a lot of the recent work on finding concurrency errors is focused on systematically enumerating through different schedules, try to see which schedule can cause a concurrency error. For example, the tool Modest I built with my collaborators, and also the chess tool built at the Microsoft Redmond are all these type of tools. They're schedule-based testing tools. So I've shown you two examples of concurrency errors. So now let's think about why it's hard to get rid of these bugs, right? So a lot of folks blamed the difficulties in making multi-threaded programs reliable on non-determinism. But this slide shows the current way we run multi-threaded programs. It's conceptually many-to-many mapping between inputs and schedules. So if we run multi-threaded program on one input, so depending on how the communication operations interleave, may have different schedules. Some schedules may be buggy. Therefore, we will see the bug show up non-deterministically. And also, the many inputs can also be processed by the same schedule as well, because schedules are high-level communication operations, and they don't dictate how the local computation can be done, right? So it's many-to-many mapping. So non-determinism does cause reliability issues. For example, testing becomes less effective. So let's say we have one input that maps to n schedules, right? And we've tested n minus one schedules in the testing lab. And there is this single untested schedule, which may be buggy. Now, if we run this program in production in the field, and this buggy schedule may show up, which can cause production failures. Question over there?
I see the point. It's a good one. But don't you have the same problem, sequential programs, after all, you can have a bug that's on only one path of the program, and you might test all the paths at the time.
So sequential programs have bugs as well, and people are working on improving the reliability of these programs by building better static analyzers, verifiers, tools like that, right? And that's not the problem I'm trying to solve here. I'm looking at mostly concurrency errors. And I think actually in this sequential domain, the techniques for making the program reliable are getting better and better, right? Like we have this Coverity company that's doing a static analysis, and they have like a lot of customers, and we got certified compilers, certified OS, right? So we understand the concurrency, the sequential aspect of the software much better than the concurrency aspect. Okay.
They're both very complex.
Sure.
So here it's sequential times an exponential factor.
Right. So one thing we can leverage here is that all the schedules, right? We actually do not need all the schedules. If you think about the program paths, right? You probably cannot throw away a lot of paths because the program paths exist for a reason. But here, all the schedules are created by like hardware timing, OS scheduling, and you can actually throw away a lot of the schedules, right? That's one thing we can leverage in concurrency. Okay. All right, so debugging is more challenging as well because you have n possibilities. Now you want to reproduce the bug, you need to search through the n possibilities, right? So let's also look at the challenges caused by the sheer number of schedules. So if you have m threads, each thread does k lock operations. That can easily give you a large number of schedules, actually exponential in both the number of m and the k, right? So that's a really large number. And now if you aggregate all the possible schedules over inputs, right, you get an even larger number. So if you want to make this program very reliable, we need to find the buggy schedules in all these possible schedules. So that's like finding needles in a haystack, right? This is a very challenging problem. And for example, think about the schedule-based testing tools. We only have limited resources to run the tools for a few iterations, right? Maybe 10,000 iterations. But you know, if the number of schedules is really large, then you look at the coverage, the number of tested schedules over the number of possible schedules is a really small coverage, right? So we don't have a lot of confidence on the software. Okay, so I talked about the two types of challenges, challenges caused by non-determinism and also challenges caused by too many schedules. They're sort of complementary. Because the first class of challenges concerns each individual input, whereas here I'm looking at the aggregate set of all schedules, right? However, previously, you know, the researchers tend to conflate these challenges, and they focus too much on non-determinism and also bring determinism to multi-threading. But they actually ignore the challenges caused by too many schedules. So in the next session of my talk. In the next session of my talk, I'm going to argue that.
The fact that you have too many schedules is only a problem if you non-deterministically execute any of them. It's only a problem. The too many schedule problem exists if you have a chance of not executing.
But you know, think about the schedules over all inputs, right? Now, you can have a system that maps each individual input to a very different schedule, right? And therefore, like the total set of schedules would be really large as well, right? It's not just a problem of one input may map to many schedules. It could be that you have a large set of inputs that maps to a large set of schedules, right? When in fact, you can reduce the set of schedules to just a very small subset, right? Does this make sense? So, you know, let me continue. How much time do I have?
6 minutes.
6 minutes? Okay. I'll be quick. Anyway, so.
Or just keep answering questions. You have 2 minutes left.
Okay. You know, how do we actually eliminate non-determinism? We have built systems, and also Emory and also other researchers, we have built systems that force a program to always use the same schedule on the same input. So conceptually, they look at this. They look like this type of mapping, where you know one input gets mapped to one schedule only, right? And you know, this does solve some problems. For example, if you do one testing execution, you actually validate all future executions on the same exact input. And also, you think about debugging. In order to reproduce a bug, if you have the same exact input, right, you just run the program on the input, the bug should show up because the input can only map to one schedule. But there are also issues, right? So first of all, determinism is not sufficient because it's a very narrow property. It says, you know, if the input is the same and also the program is the same, then we get the same result. However, it has no say on, you know, when the input our program changes, however slightly, right? So when the input our program changes, the developers or users often expect the program to behave robustly or in a stable fashion, right? So we want stability there. And unfortunately, determinism is a very narrow property. It doesn't really provide you stability, right? Like when the input changes, determinism doesn't really tell you anything about the behavior of the program. And if you implement determinism naively, you can actually make the program less stable, right? Make the program unstable. So let's look at this center figure again, which maps each input to a very different schedule, right? So there's a one-to-one mapping here, strict one-to-one mapping. So if you change the input slightly, you may force the program to discard a good schedule and run into a buggy schedule, right? And this means testing actually doesn't really provide you a lot of assurance because you can test the program on one input, but it doesn't tell you the behavior of the program on a very similar input. And also, if you change your program slightly, let's say you add a debug printf, right? And the system may force a very different schedule, which hides the bug, right? And that's not the behavior we want. Okay, so determinism is also not necessary for reliability as well, because determinism essentially is a binary property, right? So think about it. If you have a program that maps one input to more than one schedule, so let's say two schedules, right? So this system, by definition, is maybe not deterministic because one input maps to more than one schedule. But because the number of schedules is really small, this program can be easily made reliable, right? Just look at the picture on the left. So we map all inputs to just two schedules. So how do we make this program reliable? Well, we can systematically test all the two schedules, right? To reproduce a bug, we can afford to search for one out of two schedules, right? Okay.
You're saying it's the enforcement of determinism, but do you still want determinism on the other side or not?
So So determinism does have value, just like I talked about the benefits of determinism. It solves the problem caused by non-determinism. But non-determinism and determinism, like these two properties, right, they're both more narrow, right? Just concern only the same exact input plus the same program, right? So it has value, but I don't think the value is as big as we can perceive.
But I'm just trying to understand what your metric of goodness here is on the right side, right?
Okay.
You say determinism is one schedule.
One schedule for one input, right?
Right, and there are these other good schedules. So what is a good schedule?
The good schedule means it gives you reasonable performance and also doesn't really cause a concurrency error, right? That's a good schedule, like both in terms of correctness and also in terms of performance. Okay? Okay.
So,
are there?
The set of inputs is very large, and that makes sequential testing hard.
Okay.
It also makes concurrent testing hard as well.
Right. Okay. So okay. So you're saying if we map one input to a large number of schedules, that makes testing hard as well. Okay, yeah, I agree. Like, you want to reduce the number of schedules, right, for one input and also for all inputs.
But it might not help, sort of, the point I'm trying to make, because it still might be such a large number that it's intractable.
But, you know, the approach we're building is actually going to map all inputs to a small set of schedules. Not just, like, map one input to a small set of schedules, but mapping all inputs to a small set of schedules.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, so how much time do I have? I talked about the determinism is not as useful as we can perceive, right? So how do we improve reliability? Well, we can use a new approach we call multi-threading that maps all inputs to a small set of schedules. So now let me give you a 3,000-foot overview of this approach, right? So we were motivated by the problem of non-determinism and determinism, and also the challenges caused by too many schedules. So we investigated this question: are all the exponentially many schedules necessary? Right. So presumably, a schedule is necessary if it is only schedule that can process some inputs, right? Or if it's only schedule that can give you some good performance on some inputs. So we studied a diverse set of programs, including server programs, desktop programs, and also scientific computation programs. And we found two insights. So first of all, for many programs, a wide range of inputs can be processed by the same equivalent class of schedules, which means if you just pick one schedule out of the class, it can process the entire input range. Think about parallel compression PBZip2. So this program splits the input file based on the number of cores and then spawns the threads to compress the blocks in parallel. So essentially, if you just take a couple of schedules, right, you can compress pretty much any file regardless of the file contents, right? Our second insight is the overhead of enforcing one schedule on all inputs, right, on many different inputs is actually pretty low, right? So the performance of different schedules are roughly the same for a lot of inputs. So based on our evaluation results, it's actually around average of 15%. So that's one example of stable multi-threading, many inputs to just two schedules. And it makes the needles much easier to find, and also provides the anticipated stability. And also, I want to make the point that these two techniques are largely orthogonal. You can have a many-to-one mapping, which is both stable and deterministic. So there are like many challenges in implementing and applying stable multi-threading systems. So over the past 4 years, we've been working on making this approach feasible and also demonstrating that this approach can give you value, right? So there are a list of papers here. I don't have time to talk about it. I'm happy to explain it to you offline, or you can read our papers. So to conclude, I want to make 2 points here. So first of all, determinism is not as useful as we perceive for reliability. And it is neither sufficient nor necessary. And second, I talked about this stable multi-threading approach that maps all schedules to a much reduced set of map all inputs to a much reduced set of schedules. Therefore, we can greatly improve reliability. But that's it. Okay.